So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I pray that the word, your word, would become flesh in us. Lord, I thank you for revelation, wisdom, and understanding of your word. Lord, I thank you that you're revealing yourself, who you are, what you've done for us on the cross. Lord, just make that word just come alive in us that we will never, ever forget what you have done and everything that you have done for us. So we could pour it out to others, Lord, and they would see your goodness to all people, to all generations, just like that song said. Let your truth be known to all generations. Lord, I thank you and praise you for your church body, Lord, as we grow and mature together. Lord, I thank you for this word today in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, the Holy Spirit is so heavy today. So if I can't find something, you're going to have to help me. Ooh. Okay, so we started off with a question. It says, do we really know and understand our salvation? And the Lord reminded me to go slow. Don't be in a hurry. And, you know, because he wants me to finish this message so we all can get it, because there's many parts to it. So in review, salvation means healed, to be made whole, to save, to deliver, to protect, preserve, do well, be made whole, recover, restore. It also means to properly deliver out of danger and into safety. The word sozo, that means salvation, is also used primarily of God rescuing believers from penalty and power of sin and into his provisions. Hallelujah. The main scripture verse is Galatians 2:20. And I'm going to look at it first in the New American Standard, and then I'll read it to you out of the Passion. I like using the Passion. Galatians 2:20. So in 2:20, in the New American Standard, this is probably the way we're more familiar with it. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Where does Christ live? In me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Now I'll read it in the Passion. It says, my old identity has been co-crucified with the Messiah and no longer lives. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the Anointed One lives his life through me. We live in union as one. We are one with Jesus. That's what it's saying. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. That is heavy right there. So if we were co-crucified with him, all that Jesus paid for on the cross has been also put to death through us. All the sin, death, hunger, lack, poverty, sickness, disease, attacks of the enemy, persecution, hatred, rejection, abuse, abandonment, torture, betrayal, addictions, and all the curse of the law. Remember we did it with the Post-its? Steve was Jesus and Rita was the believer, and we put Post-its on, the exact same Post-its on both of them, and they were all nailed to the cross. We now know that Jesus died and paid for all the curse of the law. There was about 613 laws in the Torah the first five books in the Old Testament. And remember, if you broke one of those laws, you broke them all. We now have all the blessings because of Jesus. This is all found in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, is all the blessings. The rest of the chapter is all the cursings. And all those cursings we are delivered and redeemed from. Hallelujah to that. In Galatians 3:13, and in this scripture is also found in Deuteronomy 21, 22 to 23. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now we have the absolute privilege, of living in all the blessings of God. And that's in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. If you get a moment, read them. They're all for you. There are many aspects of what Christ has done for us on the cross. When we receive Christ and repent of our sins, we receive the gift of forgiveness, eternal life. We become a new creation. All of God's promises, including Abraham's blessings, come upon us. We become one with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we are all filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We also went through the seven places Jesus shed his blood to cover all the aspects of Christ has done for us on the cross to redeem us back. He paid off the debt. It has all been paid in full. So let's look again on the cross there of all the seven places just to keep in review. Hopefully I could reach. Okay. The first one, Jesus poured his blood out in the garden. It says, blood poured out. Jesus submitted to the will of the Father. And the replacement is, we have power to do the will of the Father and overcome sin. Jesus poured his blood out from the crown on Jesus' head. That big crown we have over there with those thorns were pressed into his head and over his forehead, and that broke the curse of poverty and lack. And we are prosperous and blessed now because of that. Jesus poured out his blood by his stripes on his back and broke the curse of sickness and disease. Our bodies are healed and restored to health. The blood poured out on Jesus' side by his heart for all the broken hearts and the inner wounds. We are forgiven and set free from all inner hurts and woundings. Jesus bled on the inside, all his bruising to break generational curses. And the replacement is, we are free from all sins and curses from our ancestors. Oh, let me do this one. The blood was poured out through Jesus' hands and released authority. Now we have authority to rule and reign. And whatever our hands touches shall prosper. And the last one. Blood was poured out through Jesus' feet to release dominion over the earth. And we have power to take back and claim territory. Everywhere our foot goes, we could claim that territory because we have the power, the authority, and the dominion to do that now. Hallelujah. And in review, we read Ephesians 1, 3 to 14, and it tells us in these verses that redemption was predestined by the Father. It was accomplished by Jesus and applied and sealed by the Spirit. The cross is the center of all the scriptures. Without the cross, there would be no solution for mankind. The spiral of sin began in Genesis 3. It had to be stopped. The death of Jesus terminates the downward spiral of all sin. Jesus' body took on the sin of the whole world and paid the price of all humanity, so to create a new humanity, family, and kingdom. This is all that we learned so far in review. Now, the true power of the cross is in the wisdom of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 to 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 through 25. Once again, I use the Passion. I'll tell you if I switch. Okay, it says this: to preach the message of the cross seems like sheer nonsense to those who are on their way to destruction. But to us who are on our way to salvation, it is a mighty power of God released within us. For it is written, I will dismantle the wisdom of the wise, and I will invalidate the intelligence of the scholars. So where is the wise philosopher who understands? Where is the expert scholar who comprehends? And where is the skilled debater of our time who could win a debate with God? Hasn't God demonstrated that the wisdom of this world system is utter foolishness? For in his wisdom, God designed that all the world's wisdom would be insufficient to lead people to the discovery of himself. He took great delight in baffling the wisdom of the world by using the simplicity of the preaching, the story of the cross, in order to save those who believe it. For the Jews constantly demand to see miraculous signs, while those who are not Jews constantly cling to the world's wisdom. But we preach the crucified Messiah. The Jews stumbled over him, and the rest of the world sees him as foolishness. But for those who have been chosen to follow him, both Jews and Greeks, he is God's mighty power, God's true wisdom, and our Messiah. For the foolish things of God have proven to be wiser than the human wisdom, and the feeble things of God have proven to be far more powerful than any human ability. Hallelujah. The more common way of scripture is said, and say like the New American Standard, it goes, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are. That is absolutely God. He always chooses the things that we least expect. The world bases everything on knowledge, what you look like. And if you look like a king, then I guess you're a king, you know, that sort of thing. But God could use any old person to do his... Look at Sister... can't think of her name, Mother Teresa, how God used her, this little tiny little lady that became a nun, even though she was with the Catholic Church, to do all those wonderful things. You know, millions and millions of dollars went through her hands to just do all that kind of work. I just thought of that. Woo, wow. I'm just going with the Holy Spirit right now because this is really hard right now for me. I'm just, whatever God is saying, I'm just going to say it, okay? Okay, so Isaiah 29, 14 and 15. Let's go and read that. Isaiah, what did I say? 29, thank you. I remember in Toronto, the preachers would be up there, and the anointing would be so strong they couldn't even barely speak. I think I could speak. It might come out weird, but I'm doing my best here. Okay, Isaiah 29:14, it says, "Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously marvelous, and the wisdom their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be concealed. Woe to those who deeply hide their plans from the Lord, and whose deeds are done in a dark place. And they say, who sees us or who knows us?" So God, he takes the foolish things to confound the wise. And the wisdom comes from above, and it is given by divine revelation to those who are teachable and humble before God. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. Now let's see what the New Testament says about wisdom. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:6. Am I making any sense? Okay, just checking. However, there is a wisdom that we continually speak of when we are among the spiritually mature. It's wisdom that didn't originate in this present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this world, of this age, who are in the process of being dethroned. Instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden before now in a mystery. It is his secret plan destined before the ages to bring us into glory. None of the rulers of this present world order understood it, for if they had, they never would have crucified the Lord of shining glory. Hallelujah. The enemy had no idea what God was up to. And thank God he didn't. Wisdom is found in the cross. Wisdom is power. The cross explains the power in the kingdom. Jesus announces the kingdom of God has come, and it is revealed in the cross by the Holy Spirit. Someone who isn't born again does not understand these revelations. Only those that are born again, spirit-filled believers of Christ. That's why when we speak things of the Spirit and we talk to someone that isn't born again, they look at you like you have two heads, right? They're like, what are you talking about? So we have to understand that they don't understand because they don't have the Holy Spirit. It's not their fault. They just need to get born again. Jesus comes as the true Son and redefines power by displaying strength through weakness. He doesn't exploit his power, but he empties himself. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Starting in 5:2-5. You all there? Almost? Okay. And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. He existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became a human. He humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and was obedient. He was a perfect example, even in his death, a criminal's death by crucifixion. Hallelujah. Let me continue. Because of that obedience, God exalted himself and multiplied his greatness. He has now been given the greatest of all names. The authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee to bow in reverence. Everything and everyone will one day submit to this name, in the heavenly realm, in the earthly realm, and in the demonic realm. And every tongue will proclaim in every language, Jesus Christ is Yahweh, beginning glory and honor to God his Father. Hallelujah. Jesus became a servant of all and thereby is exalted as the ruler of all. Jesus took seven steps from the throne of God to the cross. He emptied himself of his glory as the Son of God. He became a servant. He became human. He humbled himself. He became vulnerable and revealed himself as a man. He was obedient unto his death. He died a criminal's death on the cross. Just think of that. He left the throne of God to do this for us. Oh, thank you. The cross is the beginning of a new covenant. His death of his body and his blood enters us into this new covenant. The old covenant was a sprinkle of blood by sacrificing animals for sins. The old covenant had you to follow the law by the flesh. All 613 of them. That's impossible. And like I said, it said if you broke one, you broke them all. I guess the priests were constantly slaughtering animals. But we have been co-crucified and co-raised with him. The cross conquers sin and death. The cross cancels out all record of debt against humanity. Let's read Colossians 2:14. This is where we start getting our victory dance on. And the shouts. Where am I? 2:14. Okay. He canceled out every legal violation. That's Jesus. We had on our record in the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all and they cannot be retrieved. Don't pull them back. He don't remember them anymore. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Glory to his name. That's shouting. 1 Peter 2:24, Jesus bore our sins in his body so that we may die to sin and death, and by his stripes we are healed. Yes. Galatians 3:13, we should know this by heart. Cursed every one of the sins, and death is cursed, poverty is cursed, sickness is cursed, all curse was placed and nailed on the cross. The curse of the law paid for. Because through the death and resurrection of the Christ, that death is swallowed up in victory. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's hot up here. You made me turn the heat up. Phew. 1 Corinthians 15. 54-55. Okay, it says like this. And when that which is mortal puts on immortality, and what now decays is exchanged for what will never decay. Then the scriptures will be fulfilled that says, death is swallowed up by a triumphant victory. So death, tell me, where is your victory? Tell me, death, where is your sting? It is sin that gives death its sting, and the law that gives sin its power. But we thank God for giving us the victory as conquerors through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. So now, beloved ones, stand firm, stable, and enduring. Live your lives with an unshakable confidence. We know that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord. What a promise right there. Because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive with fruit that endures. So death has no sting. There's no fear when we pass away. We go right to heaven. Hallelujah. In the presence of the Lord immediately. The cross not only conquers sin and death, but also conquers the spiritual forces of darkness. There was a cosmic eruption that day when Jesus went to the cross. Between that day of the crucifixion and that day of the resurrection, while in the spirit realm, Jesus destroyed death, powers of darkness, and every work of the enemy through the blood of his cross. All the enemy's weapons have been stripped away from him, and now the church has authority in Christ to enforce this triumph upon the dethroned rulers of the world and made them a public spectacle. This is one of my favorite scriptures, and we're going to read it. Colossians 2:15. It says, then Jesus, after he nailed everything to the cross, made a public display of it, then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and the principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us, and by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were his. I would have loved to seen that. Man, oh man. Glory to God. Knowing this, though, listen. The enemy can only fool us or deceive us. He has no power over us. Say that. He has no power over us. No authority, no power. Jesus stripped him of that. But he always tries. Don't let him. I think I had that in there. Yeah, I read that. That's in the notes. Okay. It says, the Aramaic text has a phrase that is not found in the Greek manuscripts. The Aramaic can be translating having put off his body. He stripped principalities and powers and shamed them openly. This implies that between the day of crucifixion and the day of resurrection, while in the spirit realm, Jesus destroyed death, the powers of darkness, and every work of the enemy through the blood of his cross. All the enemy's weapons have been stripped away from him, and now the church has authority in Christ to enforce this triumph upon the dethroned rulers of this world. However, an alternate translation of the Aramaic could be, after sending out his body, which is apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and believers, they enforce his triumph to all the thrones and authorities, putting them all to public shame by the manifestation of himself in them, meaning in us. We have to put him to shame. Let's start doing it. Amen. Like victory when people get healed and circumstances change and you go around and you lay hands on the sick and you lay hands on things and things change. That's by taking authority. Shoo, glory. So when Christ rose from the dead, he was and is seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, and power. Let's look at that. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1, starting in 19. Yeah, sometimes the footnotes are really good teaching in the Passion. It's really good stuff. So Paul says, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement. We're like the billboards for Jesus. Of this immense power as it works through you. The power works through you. Let him work it through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of the highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler, every authority, every government in the realm of power in existence. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age that is coming. And he alone is the leader and source of everything needed in the church. God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ and has given him the highest rank above all others. And now we, that's us, his church, are his body on the earth, and that which fills him, who is being filled by us. And his fullness fills you and me. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, 4 through 6. But God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he ignited us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. That's even hard to believe. I mean, we say these things, the Bible says it. But we are co-seated with Christ in heavenly realms, in the heavenly realm, perfected with full authority, raised up with him. Wow. So we've been co-raised and co-seated with him. The cross for you and me on our behalf, Jesus is our replacement on the cross. He laid his life for us, the great exchange. In John 1:29, it says, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So no one has to be sentenced to death and hell. It was created for Satan and all his fallen angels and the demons. Wasn't meant for humans. We only have to believe in Jesus, repent of our sins, and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we have eternal life with him. And when we die, we go straight to heaven, no wrath or judgment. Then we are given an immortal body, just like Jesus had when he came back from heaven and walked the earth for 40 days. Showing his disciples that he was alive. Immortal bodies. The cross represents the greatest exchange for atonement and the greatest transition for all mankind. The old nature, the old sin nature, was nailed to the cross so that we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The only true peace for the world is to receive Christ. It is only found in the cross. The cross brings peace, reconciliation, and unity. It cancels out evil. The cross is the only remedy for the world to change. The only way. At the cross, the whole world has the opportunity to be reconciled to the Father, to the Father's love. For God so loved the world. He is love. Even the worst person that we can even think of, he loves them too. But he wants them saved. The peace that the world is seeking and the unity for all people is found only in the blood of Christ. Let's look up Ephesians chapter 2, 13 through 18. I love this too. It says, yet, look at you now. Everything is new. Although you were once distant and far away from God, now you have been brought delightfully close to Him through the sacred blood of Jesus. You have actually been united to Christ. Our reconciliation, peace, is Jesus. He has made Jew and non-Jew one in Christ. By dying as our sacrifice, He has broken down every wall of prejudice that separated us and has now made us equal through our union with Christ. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of His precious body on the cross. The legal code that stood condemning every one of us has now been repealed by His command. His triune essence has made peace between us by starting over, forming one race of humanity. Jews and non-Jews fused together. Two have now become one, and we live restored to God and reconciled in the body of Christ through His crucifixion. Hatred died. For the Messiah has come to preach this sweet message of peace to you, the ones who were distant, and to those who are near. And now, because we are united to Christ, we both have equal and direct access to the realm of the Holy Spirit to come before the Father. No blood, no harmony, no unity. And by the blood of His cross, everything in heaven and on earth is brought back to Himself. It is brought back to its original intention, restored us back to the innocence again. And this is this verse is found in Colossians 1:20. When we were born again, we entered into Christ's death and His resurrection. As believers, we have been co-crucified with Him, co-raised with Him, and now we are co-seated with Him in heavenly places. We now understand so far that we all get the benefits and the victory from the cross because we were symbolically crucified with Him as believers. United together with Him, we receive it all. We receive it all. Every bit of it. This is our inheritance. A person has to die in order to receive an inheritance, and he is the firstborn heir. The cross is our marching orders as Christians. The cross is the good news that has to be shared and demonstrated before people and preached to the far ends of the earth. Let's embrace the meaning of the cross. Our mission field is outside these walls. As we receive more revelation and understanding of the cross and our salvation, it will flow out of us naturally. It will win the loss. We are anointed because we have the anointed one inside of us. Praise God forevermore. Wow, we're going to keep continuing on until He makes me stop. There's a lot more. Who we are, it's amazing. We have so much victory. We should never feel defeated. We should never be discouraged. Right? Hallelujah.